The following podcast is a presentation of Sunridge Community Church.
Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This morning, I'd like to have a conversation. I believe that a subject this morning carries with it some realities in our day and age that I don't want to ignore. There is some emotional heatedness surrounding this conversation. There's personal convictions. There are centuries of church tradition, and there are real-life stories. And all of these come together inside of us to form something of a predetermined opinion and thoughts that we all sort of carry with us into this specific conversation every time it comes up. And I think that today will challenge many of our predetermined ideas. And with that in mind, I just want to ask you to simply enter into a conversation with me. Let's bring our predetermined ideas, let's bring our emotions, let's bring our opinions. And let's also just allow our minds to be open to what it is that God might do in us, what he might say to us. As we discuss the issues surrounding homosexuality and our response as Christians. As I said, kind of during the announcement time this morning, this is part of a series where we just sort of opened the floor for questions to come forward. And it can scarcely be doubted that this is probably one of the single most hot topics in conversations between the church and the world today. And I really believe that there's some truth in Scripture for all of us to understand as we don't want to ignore the debate, but just embrace it and move forward with the confidence that Scripture gives us. But first, as always, I'd really just like to take a minute and surrender myself and my words in prayer and just really ask God to speak to us this morning. So if you'll just pray with me quickly. Father, I don't want to pray quickly. I want to pray intentionally. I want to pray with submission. God, that you would just come and drain me of everything that I am and fill me up with your Spirit. I want to pray that in this room right now, your Spirit would just come and speak to us in a way that my words never, ever could. This is a real issue in our world. And God, we want to hear from you. We want to act in obedience to you. And I pray this morning you would help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess the first thing that we have to acknowledge is that homosexuality really is one of the hottest topics in our world today. It seems that every time a conversation comes up that is dealing with interactions between what we call the church and then what we call, for lack of a better term, the world, this issue tops the list of known and acknowledged controversy. And I'm sure that many, if not all of you, have in some point or another engaged in this conversation, engaged in some thought process about this in your own life. And I just wanted to say this morning that if you are sitting in this room, and this is a particularly sensitive issue for you in that in some way, the church's response, the message that has been broadcast to the world by the church at large has in some way hurt you, offended you, frustrated you, angered you. If it seems just closed and abrasive to you, I want to say as one who is a leader in the church, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry that that's been the message you have heard. And I'd like to ask this morning that if it's possible, would you just, in this time, give me something of a clean slate to work with? and I would really like to try to shift the conversation a little bit. If you are sitting in this room and you are a homosexual, whether that's public knowledge or not, I just want you to know that I am so glad you are here. And I want to reassure you that this message is not going to be an attack against you. And I'm not here to point fingers or to single anybody out. I do believe that there are truths in Scripture that need to be shared. And I do believe that we see in Jesus Christ a heart through which we must share those truths. And I'm going to do my absolute best this morning to do both of those things, but also to honor you in a way that maybe you haven't been before in a church setting. If you are sitting here this morning and the issue of homosexuality is one that makes you uncomfortable, maybe even angry, I want you to know that I'm also very glad that you're here. Would you please try to allow me to speak to you in the best way that I know how about something that I know is very emotionally charged inside of you, and I know because I understand. I need to let you guys know that this wrestling in my own life about this specific topic is not just a reflection of a couple weeks preparing for this message, but this is actually the culmination of a 10-year journey. In fact, my entire walk with Jesus, I've had to wrestle with this issue. There's a member in my own family who is homosexual, and right at the get-go, right coming into a relationship with Jesus, I mean, we all know, that, like I said, the message that had been broadcast by the church, I knew where, what I thought the church stood for. And I had to do some real work in my own relationship with Christ to reconcile this issue, because there's someone that I love, there's someone that I'm related to and that I care about, where this is a reality for me and my family. And I can't even go in any more detail with you about this, because even in my own family, it's not even spoken about. It's not addressed, it's not talked about, it's pushed into a closet and the door is shut. Which is in some ways, I think, a little bit reflective of how this can get dealt with in the church. And I don't believe that's okay. But what I would like to do this morning is just create an angle by which I think that we can explore this topic biblically, to gain perspective on homosexuality, and then move forward with an appropriate response as Christians, as people who follow Jesus in action and in heart. And I think the first thing that we need to do in order to do that is to understand that the essence of the gospel, the essence of Scripture, is the understanding that all of us are sinners. All of us carry with us a sinful nature. The Gospels, the Scripture says that all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God, and it's because of this reality that all of us are in desperate need of a Savior, specifically a man named Jesus Christ. As Christians, this overarching conviction is at the center of our entire faith system, that we all need Jesus in order to restore us into a right relationship with God, our Father. It is the central message of grace. We receive unconditional love and forgiveness from our Father that takes our severed relationship with Him and makes it whole again. It restores us into right relationship. It brings us back into the family of God. Because all of us have a sinful nature, every single one. And as we understand that and even think about it a little bit more, I think what we realize is that that sinful nature takes shape in all of us in many different ways. Some people will struggle with lying, with pride, with stealing. Others with anger, lust, gossip. The list is extensive. We all know the ways in which our sin nature manifests itself through our actions. And then what we do is we find ourselves caught living in this tension of understanding that the grace of Jesus covers that, makes us whole again, restores us in love, and at the same time, trying to pursue righteousness and pursue holiness so that we will sin less each and every day. And so, in this conversation surrounding homosexuality, one of the big topics, one of the big streams of the conversation is homosexuality a sin? That's the question, right? Is it wrong? And I want us to say that while there is a big debate about this in our culture today, in our world, in the Bible, there is no debate. In Scripture, there is no question about whether or not homosexuality is a sinful. Homosexual activity is biblically a sin. It is. There's no way around it. There's no way to contradict that. The Bible clearly says that homosexuality is outside of God's intent for human sexuality. It is outside what he planned. It is sinful. It is one of the ways that our sin nature can manifest itself in our life. I would like you just to take a look at a passage of scripture with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. It says this: "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." This is the Apostle Paul writing to a church in Corinth, and in this letter, he lists a number of vices, a number of ways in which our sinful nature manifests itself in our life through our actions. And remember, I just want to bring light to one simple truth here that I think we can kind of overlook. Paul is writing this letter to a church. So they would have received this letter and then read it publicly to their congregation. So at the end of this passage, when Paul lists all these vices and then says, "That is what some of you were," he is not talking to some proverbial imaginary group of people outside of the walls. He's talking to the people sitting in the room. He's talking to the church. He's speaking to people just like you and me. And who does Paul address? He says heterosexually immoral people. Idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, homosexual offenders, thieves, greedy people, drunkards, slanderers, swindlers. Friends, I really do believe that if we're just honest and just take a look at our life, every single one of us could put ourselves somewhere in that list. I could put myself probably in 3 or 4 spots. But we were washed, all of us, everyone on that list. But we were sanctified, everyone on that list. But we were justified, everyone on that list, in the name of Jesus Christ. And that is the single most beautiful truth in the world. So let's make no mistake about it. When the conversation comes up as to whether or not homosexuality is sinful, yeah, the answer is a clear yes. In the same way that heterosexual immorality is a sin. And in the same way that idolatry and greed and drunkenness are all sins. Yes, homosexuality is a sin. But friends, I think what we have to do now is just ask the question, why is it that just one part of that list has become such a hotspot in our culture? Why is it that just one item on that list has become such a watershed topic of debate between the church and our society today? Why is it that there's so much animosity and distaste, and I would even say sometimes hatred, surrounding just one on the list? As I've been working through this sermon, I've had an incredibly hard time answering that question. Because we see this definite, clear chasm that exists between church and culture kind of in that one area. Churches around the world have these documents, the official position of such and such church on homosexuality. Because that one on the list deserves an official position. I have not seen too many official positions on drunkenness. I have not seen too many official positions on greed. And maybe what's far worse to me is I have never seen an official position on love. It seems to me that if there's anything that deserves an official position, it's there. And I can't help but wonder, as we try to answer the question, why is this one singled out, if maybe it just feels a little bit easier to attack. Paul Varnell is a homosexual columnist and writer, and he said something that I think should bother us. He says this. This is a homosexual writer. "It can scarcely be doubted that the primary and perhaps only sources of our culture's anti-gay hostility are the Christian denominations. I'm going to read that one more time. It can scarcely be doubted that the primary and perhaps only sources of our culture's anti-gay hostility are the Christian denominations. I want to be honest with you. As much as there's no doubt in my mind that homosexuality is biblically sinful, it really bothers me that a homosexual writer would single out and identify the Church of Jesus Christ as the sole source of hostility that he feels in our culture. The people that stand for the God of love, those people. That bothers me. And I cannot reconcile it with the message of Jesus. I cannot reconcile it with the Savior of worlds who says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." That's Matthew 11:28. We have it on the screen if you want to see it. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." All of you. Every single one. That's the message of Jesus. So where do we move forward from here? What's important for us to know? This morning I said that I wanted to address the issue of homosexuality, address the conversation, and then try to prevent some sort of a forward-looking statement, some sort of a response that's appropriate for us as Christ followers in our day and age and in our society. In the first half of our time together, I tried to somehow level the playing field and help us to understand that biblically, yeah, there's no debate as to whether or not homosexuality is sinful. But there's also no debate as to whether or not you and me are, in our nature, extremely sinful as well. And in desperate need of saving. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so what that means is that in my nature, at the core of who I am exactly the same as my homosexual relative. In my nature, I'm exactly the same. And the best part of the story is that in my ability to receive complete redemption and forgiveness and grace and acceptance into the family of God, in my ability to receive that gift, I am also exactly the same as my homosexual relative. We're still the same. So as far as a response, let me just speak to a couple groups of people. If you're sitting in this room and you are not a Christian, you're just exploring this whole idea of faith in Jesus and you saw this church sign on the side of the road and you drove in and what the heck have you gotten yourself into? Let me just say this, at this church, we stand for Jesus Christ. We stand for his message. We stand for what he's about. We stand for love. I know that the response that has been presented to the world by the church in the past has been rough. It's been cruel and sometimes it's been outright mean. And I just want to ask you to do me a favor. Please don't make the mistake of judging Jesus based on his followers, although I wish you could. We don't always hit the mark. And I would simply say that in this area, in our response to homosexuality, we have not done a good job of representing Christ. And we need to do better. To those of you in the room today who are homosexual, let me say to you, you are so welcome here. You are welcome in our church. You are welcome in our community. You are welcome in our family. For far too many years, the church has been better known for what it stands against than for what it stands for. And at this church, we stand for love for all people. We stand for grace for any and all. We stand for forgiveness and for acceptance. We want to welcome you into our community. For those of us in the rooms who call ourselves Christians, followers of Christ, my word to us this morning is simple but strong. We are the church. And I believe, friends, that the church has horribly misrepresented the unceasing, unparalleled love of Jesus Christ. And we have replaced that for a message of condemnation and exclusion. And while I know that many of you as individuals may not be guilty of that, the truth is that all of us who bear the name Christian, we carry the stigma of the worldwide church with us wherever we go. What the church at large represents will be correlated to us as soon as they identify us as followers of Christ. It'll just happen. And the message that has been broadcast in this issue, rejection, hatred, exclusion, and separation. And I believe that the most important thing that I can say to us as the church, as Christians, is that must change. I've already said it, this church, we will welcome any and all. People from all walks of life struggling with a huge variety of sins, from gossip to homosexuality. And if you're not okay with that, we want to welcome and encourage and walk with you too. But we will not compromise love. We will not compromise the message of Jesus. When we are confronted with any form of brokenness, any sin at all, our message will remain constant. God is not a God of exclusion, but of inclusion. He is not a God of hate, but of love. He's not about condemnation, but he's about redemption. He's the very definition of love itself. That's our God. That's our message. We will not waver on that. I'm going to continue speaking to the Christians in the room, and I want to call the worship team forward. I said we wanted to identify the issues surrounding homosexuality, to acknowledge the bait and talk about it, and then we wanted to move through some form of a response as Christians. Friends, there's only one response. We love. We love all people in our world, all the time, forever and ever, amen. We love because Christ commands us to. I opened up our time this morning with a passage of scripture from 1 John chapter 4. I want to read that again. It says this, "Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his Son, his one and only Son, into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." Friends, we need to be people of love. Because God loved us, we must love one another. And we can't make any mistakes about it. All around us in our world every day are people dealing with homosexual desires and tendencies. They are at your workplaces. They are at your schools. They are in your families. They are in this church. And it seems that the societal response exists in two extremes. Homosexuals are either shunned and chastised, or they're defiantly exalted in parades and television specials. And either way, it reduces the entire debate down to a spectacle. And I need to ask, who's caring for their hearts? Who's caring for their questions of acceptance? And are people going to love me just the way I am? They know that it's not the societal norm. We don't need to remind them. We need to love them. We need to care for them. We need to show them grace. This is a perfect opportunity for the Church of Jesus Christ to step up and not succumb to culture, but to be the catalyst that changes it. Jesus himself said that the world will know his followers by their love. And so my final challenge to us this morning is this. and it's the reason for the title of our message. Love without limits. By very definition, love is extreme. It is wild, it is unbound, it is ruthless. Love without limits. I have clearly used this morning homosexuality to leverage a bigger issue. We addressed the issue. We talked about the conversation. But there is a far bigger point out there. And the point is this. The church needs to do a better job of loving people. We just do. So we're going to sing a song that reflects the love of God. Your love, O Lord. The love that we have received, the love that has been given and shown to us in the midst of our sin, in the midst of when we just did not deserve it. A wild and reckless, prodigal God recklessly loved us to the point of his own death. We're going to sing about that love. And then we're going to walk out the door. My call to you is to love the world with no limits. Love strongly, passionately, ruthlessly, when it's uncomfortable, and when nobody else will. Love without limits. Love all people. Because Jesus died for all people. Let's stand and sing together.